Are you an entrepreneur looking for more free time, more money, or just looking for that success blueprint? The Proven Entrepreneur is the podcast for you. Host Don Williams and his guests share real success stories from proven entrepreneurs. Here's your host, Don Williams.
Hey, Don Williams here with today's episode of the Proven Entrepreneur Show. Man, do I have a treat for you. Today, Dr. Mark Golston, who's the world's leading listening coach and a leading thought leader, his book, Just Listen, Discover the Secret of Getting Through to Absolutely Anyone, became the top book on listening in the entire world and recently chosen as the number two best communication skills book of all time by mostrecommendedbooks.com. He's a former UCLA professor of psychiatry and FBI and police hostage negotiation trainer. So I'm in over my head today, people. He's the host of a highly ranked podcast, My Wake Up Call, co-host of Hurt Less, Live More with JJ and Dr. Mark, and the co-founder of 90 Second Mentor on LinkedIn. Please welcome my good friend, Dr. Mark Golston.
Okay, Don, you're not under arrest, so don't worry about that.
Good. The day's early, so we'll have to see how it plays out, but I'm glad to hear that so far. So I'm going to take you all the way back to young Mark, okay? Age 5, which is about where our memories kind of start to function well. So 5 to 18, in the house that you were raised, I want to know, did someone set an example as an entrepreneur for you in your childhood?
Well, actually, nobody set an example as an entrepreneur. My father was raised in the Depression, and he had kind of a job for life. He worked at a liquor distributing company outside Boston. He was there for about 35 years. And my two older brothers worked for companies. And I went to medical school. So I had the mindset of working for something much bigger. But something that I discovered is that I'm kind of a square peg. And every time I tried to fit into a round hole, it didn't work. I wasn't entirely rejected by the round holes because it's only recently that I've occasionally flirted with being an a-hole because I hang out with entrepreneurs.
Well played, sir.
And many of them do more than flirt with it, but I like the heck out of them. And what's interesting is I always noticed the elephant in the room that people didn't notice. And so I felt a little bit odd. Recently, I heard from another group of entrepreneurs is that many entrepreneurs didn't fit in growing up, and the world tried to break their spirit frequently, sometimes telling them, why do you have to be different?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? And they weren't trying to be different. They just couldn't fit in to the round holes. And we have tons of examples from Ted Turner to Richard Branson, Charles Schwab. They just didn't fit in. And early on in life, they actually, what I've discovered also about entrepreneurs is many people who became entrepreneurs, a third, they became entrepreneurs to escape depression of not fitting in.
When you first said, well, I was kind of a square peg, my inside me was going, yay, a brother. Okay. Because many entrepreneurs are just square pegs. And I think outsiders view entrepreneurs as being entrepreneurial out of a profit motive. But in my experience, that is a small percentage of the time. I know with me, I'm resistant to authority. And so I just refused to follow. I could not find a good leader to follow. I'm like, I'm just done. I'll be my own leader, good, bad, or ugly. And that's really what led me into my path. So tell us a little bit about the book, okay? Because this whole be a great conversationalist by not talking, just listening. Tell me about that.
Well, I'll tell you about the book, but I'll also tell you about how to be more compelling than convincing. One of the problems I find with a lot of entrepreneurs is they get excited about their IP and their technology, and they're passionate about it. But when they go out, especially to investors, the investors could give two hoots about their great idea because they're hearing great ideas all the time. And a lot of times, entrepreneurs will be excited about their IP, whereas what they have to really realize is who they're talking to. And so one of the things that I'm trying to teach the world. And I spoke in Moscow along with Daniel Kahneman. He wrote Thinking Fast and Slow. And we were featured speakers. And five of my books have done pretty well in Russia. And something that I've been trying to teach everyone since then, and I've been doing talks to startup groups, accelerators, is that underneath people listening to you, whether it's one-on-one like you and me, or one on 10, or one in 1,000, people are listening for something that they may not be conscious of. So I'll give you an example of that with you, and then I'll give you the example that I give to startups who are pitching investors. So you're checking boxes in terms of asking me good questions, you know, tell us about your background, tell us about the book. But underneath, tell me if this is what you're listening for. You hate to waste people's time. You hate to waste your viewer and listener's time. I mean, wasting their time is like nails on a chalkboard for you. So you're always listening for guests that can give your listeners and viewers immediate value. And by immediate, it needs to be relevant to what's on their mind, helping them solve solutions that they haven't been able to solve, and giving them doable by them solutions so they don't have to go out and buy books and take courses because many of them don't have the time and they have too much ADHD anyway to listen anyway. So you're listening for people, I believe, who will honor the trust and confidence of your viewers who have short attention spans by giving them immediate value. And you're also listening for people who maybe you haven't researched so much and they might have a best-selling book, but they're stiffs. I mean, they are awful. And you're thinking to yourself, I can't broadcast this. I can't post this. I have to protect my people from them. So is any of that accurate?
Yeah, it's very accurate. So I kind of live in the world of easy, fast, smart, best. And mm-hmm. if it's not easy, if it's not fast, if it's not smart, if it's not best, I am frustrated, extremely so. And so mm-hmm. I always kind of live in that world. I believe, you know, my mission is to help others help others. And so this podcast, my goal for this is to take non-entrepreneurs and encourage them to take an entrepreneurial step and to have entrepreneurs to take another step by learning from exceptional, proven entrepreneurs. I'm just kind of the Jiminy Cricket guide between my audience and my guests like yourself.
So here are some tips for your audience that I hope will be practical. So your entrepreneur audience occasionally has to go out and get money and yeah. get money from people who may not be that interested in their IP. I mean, if you've come up with IP that is going to change the world and it is obvious it's going to change the world, then be passionate about it and sell that. But that's less than 1%. And so when I've been doing presentations to startups who need to get money, I say to them, do you ever start pitching investors and after three slides, they smile and you think it's a yes? It's not a yes. Investors don't smile, especially if you didn't make a joke. It's about money. But they're smiling because it's a no. And they're thinking, I've seen three slides. I don't want to see any more. This person put a lot of work into this deck that I am not interested in. And I don't want them to catch me being rude. So I'm going like this, but it's not a yes. So if you need to have a few of those experiences and realize that at the end of it, you thought they'd throw money at you and they said, you know, interested or send me a PDF or just get out of my life. They don't say it that way. So what you do is if you've had this experience is you stop yourself. You stop being so connected to your deck and you say, can we stop for a second? And they're going to get nervous because you caught them not wanting to be rude to you. And they go, what? Can we pause for a second? And then the jig is up. And then you say, you know, when I started the presentation, when we first met, you were listening for something and you didn't hear it. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in three slides, we got further away from what you were listening for. And you're smiling because you were thinking this is going to be a long deck to go through that I'm not interested in. So could you tell me what it is you are listening for?
Wow.
Because we might actually have it. It may be in the deck, you know, in slide 40, or it may not be, but, you know, I can drop the slides. Tell me what you are listening for. And if we have it, I'll let you know. But everybody in this world, Don, is networked. And here's where you pivot from your closing a deal to building a customer for life. Here's where you say, tell me what it is that you're listening for. And I'm guessing it's something where you go back to someone above you and say, I just heard something and we got to throw as much money into it as possible, as quickly as possible. So you're listening for a unicorn. So tell me a little bit from your point of view, what unicorns look like, if you've ever brought one in or someone in your investment firm has done that. Tell me all about that, because I know a lot of people, I know a lot of companies, and I might be able to introduce you to them. And I won't tell them that I've spoken to you, but I might be able to introduce you to them. I'll send you some little information on them. And if it works out, you go invest in them. They love having your money. And guess what? You will all take my call in the future, because I focused on your success. And one of the ways that I suggest living a long career is this is how you should live, because you're going to run into people who are reciprocators as opposed to takers. I say stay away from the takers. That's something I've learned in my long life. They'll just suck the life out of you. And what you want to do is lead with generosity that helps that those investors or other people be successful, and helps the people that you might introduce to them be successful. And what happens is, if you do this enough, they're going to get together and they're going to say, you know, we got to find out how to make Mark successful. He made this happen for us. You want to go drill down what Mark's really selling, or you want me to do it? But geez, he put this together for us. And so I always lead with generosity. I'm a little bit older now. I'm on the board of advisors of 8 companies, because they all say, we've got to do something for you. All you focus on is getting us successful. And I say, well, send me the paperwork and I'll throw it away, because I don't have a filing cabinet. Literally, I've downsized. And I said, you know, you keep track of it. And, you know, and if it makes money and a lot of money, you can give me a little bit of money and I don't care. And they say, we really mean it. You know, if it makes money, you've just done too much for us. I say, look, I trust you and I'm not going to ask you for it. And it's built such goodwill, you know, and some of them I think are flirting with doing very well. And that's how I recommend being in the world.
So in my consulting practice, I literally have what we call, it's called a client defined payment form. And so it's not a web page that you go to and it says it's $10,000 or $20,000. It's a web page where you go and you define the amount that you're paying, because I have clients where I share in the win, but I don't look at their P&L. I don't look at their deposits. I don't. If I didn't trust them, I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I too think that everybody gives and takes, but some people take a disproportionate amount of the time, and those people should be avoided. But yeah, I literally have people who pay for services on a schedule that we've agreed to, but it's not, I don't really have a way to monitor, and nor am I concerned with that. And it's amazing when you associate with high quality people, high quality events happen. And when you associate with
low quality,
yeah, people of less quality, maybe less quality events happen. And I'm a big believer, the Go Giver book. I don't think you can outgive the universe. My mission literally is to help others help others. And what I've found in 36 years of entrepreneurship, some wildly successful, couple really stinker years. I mean, it hasn't all been great. Okay. And then you're probably the 150th interview on this little podcast thing I started, which is kind of blown up. But many entrepreneurs are somewhat accidental, and the best entrepreneurs are huge givers, and sometimes to the point that maybe somebody should advise them, you could tap the brake a little bit, like you're giving away everything and you probably shouldn't. You know, the home team is the home team. There's a spouse and there's kids or grandkids, or, you know, let's keep in mind, you know, what we're doing here. But they're a phenomenal group of misfits in the world, and maybe solutions to all the big problems. You know, government is woefully inadequate at solving any problem, really. Either side, I'm not picking a side, but entrepreneurs are problem solvers and the world's full of problems. And so you get some great minds aligned and people that'll be authentic, which requires being vulnerable, which requires taking a chance, not knowing the outcome, getting out of your comfort zone. Okay. And you, what most people find, and I just did an hour call on this with a group, is that you're far better, far smarter, far stronger than you think. And that's one of my favorite quotes out of all the great philosophers, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates. That was Christopher Robin and Winnie the Pooh. And Christopher's a wise young man because you are far better, far smarter, and far stronger than you think.
I do want to bring up a problem that entrepreneurs need to address before they partner with someone, before they hire someone, before they marry someone. And I think I sent you a little snippet about this prior to the call. Before you get into bed, figuratively or literally, with someone, you need to be someone, first of all, you need to be someone who has a high priority in identifying and then dealing efficiently and effectively with any conflicts. And that needs to be a high priority because conflicts will happen. And I've seen too many companies be brought to their knees because someone who is great technically, someone who may be a little bit on the spectrum, an engineer, they're not good with conflict. And they'll either get angry or they'll avoid it, and it can bring a company to its knees. And so one of the things you want to hire or marry for is you need to be someone who makes that a high priority, and you need to hire or marry someone who makes it a high priority. Because I'll tell you, if you're not good with conflict and you avoid it, and you're overly understanding of the other person, it's going to build up. You're going to gunny sack your frustration, and it's going to turn into resentment, and it's going to turn into burnout, and it's going to turn into actually avoid coming into the office because you can't stand to see this person that you've been so understanding with. So find that out. Ask them. And the way you bring it up is you could say, you know, conflicts in life are inevitable, either between you and another person, two people that you're supervising are in conflict, or you and your own head. They're just inevitable. So tell me about those kind of conflicts you've had in life and give me some examples. And then when they give you examples, find out the time it took between identifying it, thinking their way through it, and then taking action. And please listen to me. And you might say, oh, that's just a psychiatrist talking. And it is part of that background. But for 50 years, people came into me only because they had a conflict with another person. They had a conflict with their own mind and their own impulses. And what's really interesting is if you dedicate yourself to being good at this, you don't have to like conflict, but I coach people that whenever a conflict happens, they get excited about it because they can personally grow and test their mettle against it. I remember one of my friends was the CEO of Advanced Medical Optics, and they made Blink, which I'm doing, ophthalmic solution, and he discovered that it was hurting the corneas. And on the same day he heard that, he took it off the market. It was the biggest product. And I called Jim Mazzo, and I said, Jim, I'm so proud of you that you did this. And he said, Mark, I'm giddy with excitement. I said, what? He said, I'm giddy with excitement. I said, what? I said, you better close the door. What do you mean you're giddy with excitement? And he said, you know, mistakes are unavoidable. Failures are unavoidable. He said, but every mistake and every failure in my life has made me smarter and stronger in ways I couldn't predict. And I'm giddy because I know this will do the same for me. And I don't know what I'm going to look like on the other end, except I'm going to be better. And I thought, wow, what a great way to look at conflict. What a great way to look at mistakes and failure. And here's the other advice that I discovered. I'm a psychiatrist, and during my career, we would sometimes put people in a 72-hour hold, which meant if it looked like they were going to be hurtful to themselves or someone else, we'd put them in a hospital where they couldn't be. And the best advice I've ever given myself was whenever something doesn't go right, whenever something backfires, I say to myself, Mark, put yourself in a 72-hour hold and don't do anything to make it worse. Don't drink, don't eat, don't yell at someone. Just don't do anything to make it worse. Continue your routines. If I'm exercising, exercise. Because what I discovered, and when I've spoken, and you can do this with entrepreneurs, what I've discovered is about 80% of breakthroughs are preceded by breakdowns. I mean, that's what psychedelics do. They break down your mind. And then what happens on the other end of it, you have breakthroughs. And the problem is when you have a breakdown, if you do something that makes you embarrassed or ashamed, you're so busy feeling that you will miss the breakthrough.
I think that potential for opportunity is outside of our comfort zones. your friend was a master practitioner of gratitude, the kind of person who could be grateful, not when things are going well, but who could be grateful when things weren't going well, could find the bright side. And the interesting thing about gratitude is the more you practice gratitude, the more grateful you become. And the more grateful you become, the better things go. And that's just the way it goes. So such wisdom to our listeners. I just want to encourage you, Dr. Mark Golston, you can find him all over social media, several podcasts, his book, Just Listen. And when Dr. Mark talks, I just listen. Dr. Mark Golston, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for giving me a long leash because I took every inch of it.
You did great. I reserve the right to recall the witness at a future date for a future episode.
We can do that because I was an advisor to the prosecution in the O.J. Simpson trial, which taught me everything I know about dealing with difficult people because I had to confront F. Lee Bailey. But that's another story.
That's another story for another day. Dr. Mark Golston, thank you. That's today's episode of The Proven Entrepreneur Show.
That's today's episode of The Proven Entrepreneur. Go to provenentrepreneurshow.com, subscribe to the show, leave an iTunes review, and you could win a $25,000 VIP day in Dallas with Don himself. And get Don's easier and faster selling with video course free. Please join Don on the next episode of The Proven Entrepreneur.